That video, as goofy as it is, reminds us of what a three-ring circus our families can be. It's just the reality of life. There are days in our families where everything is going right, and there are days where everything that can go wrong will go wrong. And some of you have probably heard the statement, or maybe you've even made the statement, "Not my circus, not my monkeys." Anybody ever heard that? But guess what? When it comes to family, it is your circus, and they are your monkeys, and they probably resemble you. We are in this series called Family Circus, and we are doing our very best to dive into Scripture and figure out God's truth, God's principles about the family. We all are honest enough to know that our families are not perfect. We're imperfect people. We're real people. Our family isn't going to be perfect, but how can we live in such a way that our family gets better? No matter where we are in family life, maybe you're just a kid growing up in a family, or maybe you're newly married or you're raising a family, maybe you are in that season of life where your kids are involved in all sorts of stuff, you're running them all over the place, you've got teenagers, maybe college age, or maybe you're an empty nester, or you thought you were an empty nester and now your kids are moving home. Wherever you are in your season of family life, we believe that God can help us get better. So we're digging in, we're trying to figure out how do we get better as a family. We talked last week as we dove into this series about some of the really significant truths in Scripture about family. And if you weren't here last weekend, I want to encourage you to go to the website and listen to that message. It kind of lays the foundation for everywhere we are going over the next few weeks in this series called Family Circus. But I do want to remind you of a couple of things that we shared last weekend. One of the passages we used is such a foundational passage when it comes to thinking about our lives individually and as families. And so I want to invite you to grab your Bible or grab your phone, open your Bible app, find Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is this amazing book of the Bible. It is really Moses' farewell address to the nation of Israel. He's been their leader for all of these years. Now he's passing the baton onto Joshua. So he's making a farewell address. And one of the things that God impresses on him to share with the people of Israel is the truth that they need to live by, and then how they transfer that truth to the coming generations. And you find him laying out a really clear picture of this in Deuteronomy chapter 6. So would you look at these words with me? Moses says, "Listen, Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to this command that I'm giving you." And then he says, "You should repeat it again and again and again to your children. And you should do it when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. You should tie it to your hand. You should wear it on your forehead. You should put it on the doorpost of your house." He says this needs to be this truth that God is God and that you ought to love Him wholeheartedly. This truth ought to be everywhere in your life. There's no place you should go, no place you should be, nothing you should be involved in or thinking about that this truth is not the truth under which you are living. Moses says, this family circus, your family circus, takes place or should take place under this big tent of truth that everything begins and ends with God. Jesus took those words of Moses and he restated them even more powerfully in his ministry here on earth. When somebody came to Jesus and said, "What's the most important thing I need to know? What's the greatest commandment? What is it that all of life is about? The most important thing." And Jesus took Moses' words and he said, "You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength." And then Jesus added, "And you should love your neighbor as yourself." The same way that you love God, in the same way that you are committed to loving God, as God works in your heart, that love for God ought to be lived out in loving each other. And so Jesus said, not only is your family mission to love God fully and completely, but he said your family mission and your life mission is to love God and to love each other. That's the big tent of truth that we all live underneath. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter what language you speak, what your economic level. It doesn't matter how big your family, how small your family. God says your family is designed to help each other know that we are here to love God and to love others. That's the most important truth. And Moses goes on in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where it's written down, his statements are so powerful because he says to the nation of Israel, you're going to experience some awesome things in your life. You're going to have amazing homes, and you're going to have amazing opportunities, and you're going to have more wealth than you've ever experienced before. And Moses says, if you're not careful, all of these good things in life are going to cause you to forget what's most important. So he says, don't get so caught up in all of the making a living and the building a home and the making sure your kids get an education and are involved in all of the options. Make sure that you don't get distracted from the most important thing. Because Moses says, if you don't live out the most important thing, you've missed God's mission for your family. You've missed it. Moses says, this truth is so critical. And then he gives us another piece of amazing information. He reminds us that this truth is best communicated in the context of your home and my home. Moses says the way this truth is going to be passed from generation to generation is because you live it in your life and you repeat it over and over and over and over and over again. And as you do life, this truth is always the guiding principle. When you make decisions about money and about what we're going to be involved in and how many activities we're going to go to and where we're going to be this time and that time and the other time and how we're going to order our lives, he said this truth ought to be everywhere. It's the primary foundation of your life. It's the big tent of truth that you live underneath. And he said, it's going to be best communicated in your family. And here's what Moses is reminding us, and I want to remind you again today, that God designed the family as the most basic, significant, culture-shaping environment in the universe. God designed your family to be the most significant, culture-shaping environment in the universe. Yes, education is important. Yes, homes are important. Yes, you protecting your family from all sorts of goofball stuff in our world, all of that is important. But the most significant culture-shaping environment is designed by God to be your family. And so that's the primary influence on the lives of your kids. And we all know that influence is important. In fact, we know that training is important. Think about a circus. That's kind of our theme, family circus, this series. And you think about a circus for a moment. You would never send somebody up to the high wire without a bit of high wire training, correct? You wouldn't throw somebody up there and say, yeah, you see that trapeze coming over there? Just jump off here and catch that. You wouldn't do that without a bit of training. You wouldn't say, here's the things that you need in your hands, the whips or whatever things that you've got going on. Go in there and make that lion do what he's supposed to do. You wouldn't do that without a bit of training. In fact, you can go on the internet and you can find all sorts of places that you can sign up and go get circus training. Training is required to be a circus performer. Training is required to do this circus of life well. And you and I know we can't just throw our kids out there. We know we can't just throw our family into the wild circus of the world and say, oh, just figure it out. I mean, we know that. Moses says, listen, make sure that you know the most important thing. And make sure your family is all about making sure they understand how to live this out in their daily life. We need some family circus training so that when our family grows up and they're moving forward in their life, that they know what's most important and they know what it looks like. Not just to say the words, but to actually live it in our daily life. There's some encouragement about this in Psalm 78. And I want you to flip over there in your Bible or find that if you would. Psalm 78, the writer is talking about sharing God's truth and God's power and what God has done, sharing that from generation to generation. And so Psalm 78, and if you look down to verse 4, the writer says, we're not going to hide this truth from our children. We will tell the next generation. He says, we're going to tell them about the glorious deeds of God, about His power, about His wonders. He issued His laws to Jacob. He gave instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children so that the next generation might know them, even the children yet unborn. And they, in turn, will teach their own children. And he says, here's the bottom line. We want each generation to set their hope anew on God, not forgetting God's power, God's truth, God's word. He says, it's up to you as a family to make sure that you're sharing this foundational truth, that you're showing your family how to live this in their daily life. Now, we know that we cannot decide another person's faith. As much as you would like to, you and I cannot decide the faith of our kids or anybody else. But listen, we can create an environment for spiritual growth. It's our job as a family not to decide for our kids. It's our design by God to create an environment for spiritual growth. Here's what I love about what Scripture does. And you see it in Moses. And you see it again in this psalm. And you see it all over in Scripture. That they want, the writers of Scripture, they want us to understand that faith and truth is passed along not just by information, but by our life. In fact, passing truth along to your family is never to be just an information-oriented moment. It's to be a life-oriented experience. If all you do is pass information along, nobody will grab it. Because information that is not in the context of real life is dull and empty and inauthentic. So you and I, we take this truth, we merge it into our daily lives, and it's through our relationships with our family, it's through our relationships with the people that we rub shoulders with, that this truth is passed along. Passing our true faith along is never information-oriented, it's life-oriented. And these relationships based on love and faith, they create the perfect environment for spiritual growth. If you want to pass the legacy of faith along, then you transfer it through a loving relationship. Anytime you just pass rules on, anytime you just pass information on, and anytime you just pass a principle along without it being in the context of a genuine, compelling, loving relationship, you will promote something that's empty and lifeless. In fact, rules that are passed along outside of the context of loving relationships will always lead to rebellion. It always happens. Rules without relationship lead to rebellion. And if we just simply try to pass a bunch of religious stuff along to our family without putting it in the context of our real life and them seeing us live it out on a daily basis, our families will be likely to reject the whole thing. Because they'll see it as something that we do for an hour, not something that impacts our entire life. Relationships, they create the environment for spiritual growth. Let me add another layer to it. Relationships give us the opportunity to share God's truth in our everyday life. Practical. Kids, they get to see us in our lives every single day. They kind of have a front row seat to the way that we are living. The question is, what are they seeing? I mean, are they seeing us engage in the adventure of life, the ups and downs, with courage and with passion that God gives us, whether the day's going well or whether the day's going lousy? Do they see us living by God's principles even when life is throwing us some serious curveballs? Do they see us actually pursuing a deeper relationship with God? Do they see us living out a loving, unconditional commitment to our spouse? Because they will not see that on TV or in a movie. They need to see it in our homes. Do they see us prioritizing Jesus above everything else in our lives? Or do they see us prioritizing every other opportunity out there and then fitting Jesus in just where it's convenient? Because if they see us only fitting Jesus in where it's convenient, that's how they will think following Jesus is to be done. Our families, they have this front row seat, and they need to see us live out this truth in our daily lives. They need to see us struggle with questions and struggle with answers, because real people sometimes struggle with questions. We struggle to find answers. They need to see us face our weaknesses and deal with our problems, admit when we're wrong. They need to see us figure out how to resolve conflict, as painful as it might be. They need to see us connect all of this into our everyday life. The writer of Psalm 78 said, we're not going to hide the truth from our kids. We're going to live this out. We're going to share this with them every single day. Once in a while, I have a parent come up to me and they say something like, and they're well-intentioned and they're well-meaning, but they'll say, well, you know, I'm not really going to talk to my kids a lot about my faith. I'm not going to talk to my kids about my spiritual journey and how I came to know Christ or some of the struggles I went through when I was younger. I want them to figure it out on their own. And I want to say to them, you're nuts. God designed your family to influence. It's what He designed your family for. And He needs for you to be honest enough to share your journey with your family. And maybe your family can learn from the mistakes that you made. Maybe they can learn how to work through their own questions through the questions that you've wrestled through. You need to be right up front about how you're doing life with God and let your family see that. That's how you share your faith with the next generation. If your faith is sanitized, if your faith is looks like it's just a Sunday morning thing, or if your faith looks like that it's just for the good times, if it's just, you know, that prayer, quick prayer before the meal, if that's it, that's what your faith looks like, your family's not want that. Why would they want something that is not actually impactful for all of life? And I know, I'll say it again, we can't decide the faith for anybody else, but we can create an environment for their faith to grow. See, relationships, let's add another layer. Relationships communicate who we are on the journey of life, not just at a moment in time. It communicates who we are on the journey, not just at a moment in time. I know that the ride to church can be stressful sometimes. Wow, that family portrayed it in ways that stressed me out. So I know that it can be stressful getting to church sometimes. But when we get here, we all look pretty good. And we can do well for an hour on Sunday morning. But our family needs to see us living out our faith, not at just a moment in time, but they need to see us on the journey of life, living out our faith. As we can pretend for an hour, they need to see the genuine life lived through the journey of life. And I am so excited about the fact that you, I believe, are making this decision. You're determining that you are going to live this out. You're going to live this out in your daily life. And our kids, they need to see us just wrestle through all of these things, because they need to see in our relationships with them, they need to see God at work. Let me say it like it's going to pop up on the screen. Relationships give our family a front row seat to God at work. And I love what Moses does. I love what Moses does. He starts out this passage that gives us a big truth, and then how this big truth is shared. He starts it out by getting the attention of the entire nation, because he says, "Listen, Israel, God is God, God alone. And your life is all about loving Him and serving Him with every part of who you are." He says, "Israel, everybody." That means that, yes, you are to repeat this over and over again to your kids and to your kids and to your grandkids. Yes, you're to do that. But he says this isn't just the responsibility of an immediate family member to live this out. This actually is the responsibility of the entire nation. And so aunts and uncles and grandparents and nieces and nephews and cousins and everybody is supposed to be a part of influencing each other to live out the main mission that God has given to us, which is to love Him and love others. This is everybody's responsibility. Everybody, rubbing shoulders with each other, influencing each other, encouraging each other, moving forward. Moses says this is about everybody. Israel is supposed to be about loving God and loving others. Jesus said, your life is supposed to be about loving God and loving others. This is going to be communicated through the context of your family relationships. That's where it's communicated best. Yes, church is important. Church is really, really important in terms of these gatherings that we do. And I know our world today gives us a million options, and we have to make some significant choices. How significant are we going to say is the gathering of the church family? Because everything else in our world will tell us stuff is more important. And so we have to determine, how important is this truly? This is important for us to rub shoulders with each other. It's important for you and I to live this out in our daily life, giving each other a front row seat to the way that God wants to work. Let me tell you why a church family is so important. Well, let me give you one reason. There's a lot of them. But one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about a church community is because I know the difference that it has made in our own family. Because one of the responsibilities that you and I have is making sure that we put into the circle of influence for our family people who are going to encourage us in the right direction. People who are going to encourage our family to move in the right direction. People who are going to reinforce the kind of things that we believe. That's part of our responsibility as a family, is to make sure that the people who are rubbing shoulders with our family are the right kind of people, so that they're going to move everybody in the right direction. Grace Point made a huge difference for our family in that way. Just an amazing difference. And I just need to say a huge thank you to Grace Point for the difference you made in our family. I mean, I was always so excited when our daughter Ashley would say, "Hey, I'm going to spend the night at Mary Erickson's house," now Mary Wagner. "I'm going to spend the night at Mary Erickson's house." And we loved that, because we knew that Mark and Kathy, Mary's mom and dad, were going to reinforce the same stuff that she heard at our house. I was always thrilled when my son John would say, "Man, I love talking to Joe Thomas. It's so much fun." And I loved it when John said, "I love talking about sports with Gene Erickson." Because I knew those guys were going to encourage and reinforce, just through brief conversations, they were going to reinforce the things I wanted my son to know. I won't forget. I still get emotional about it. When my daughter Ashley was in college, and she would bop home once in a while on weekends, and we were at one service at that point in our other sanctuary, and so the place was packed all the time, and she didn't know everybody, obviously. None of us know everybody in the church family. And I remember her saying, "Dad, who is that?" After one service, "Who's that family, that little old couple?" That's how she described them. "That little old couple that sit down on the one side of the church And she said, they are so sweet. And it took me a while to figure out who she was talking about. And then finally I figured out who it was. It was Arnold and Cora Moore. And she said, I've been watching them when I come home from college. She said, they are so sweet to each other. She said, they have such a great attitude. And Arnold, if you knew Arnold, Arnold was had some serious health issues, and so he was bent over and he couldn't stand all the way up. And Cora had a lot of health issues, but they were amazing people. Just had this amazing attitude. And I remember Ash saying, I want to be like that when I get old. You see, you in the church family showed her something that I couldn't show her. Now, someday, I'll show her what it's like to be old. But I couldn't then. And she needed to see, even though she had never had a conversation with them, had no idea who they were, but she had watched their life enough just in those brief moments that she knew, man, that's what I want to be like. You are so important to the people around you. You are so influential. And so as a church family, we have to make sure that we are just living out this truth. When we're here together in community, when we meet each other, watching a soccer game or playing softball or connecting somewhere, we have to make sure we're living out this truth. Because all of us together, we can, in the context of loving relationships, we can pass our faith along to the next generation. We can't decide their faith for them, but we can create an environment where their faith can grow. I want for all of us together to be living out Psalm 78. That we are regularly talking about God's work in our lives. We are regularly living out this truth. It affects everything we do, everything we say. We're not always going to do it perfectly, but it's the grid through which everything else is measured and decided. This truth that we are here to love God and love others. It's the family mission that God has given for every single one of us. And as we do that, we pass along this truth to the generations to come and generations that we will never get a chance to physically meet, we are impacting by the seeds we plant today. Grandkids and nieces and nephews that you will never meet, great-grandkids, great-great-great-grandkids, you will never meet some of them physically. But the way you live today, the way you live out this mission, plants seeds that God can use to bring about an amazing harvest of faith in the people who you and I will never rub shoulders with physically. So I want to invite you just to bow your heads with me for a moment. I want to give you just a final couple of questions to think about. I'd love for you just to, as best you can, quiet your heart. I want to ask you, is your faith, personally, is your faith information-oriented or life-oriented? A faith that only is something we recite a time or two during the day, or a faith that's only something we sing about or hear about on a Sunday, will not be passed along in a positive way. Is your faith information-oriented or life-oriented? I wonder if you're giving your family a front row seat to God's work. Are you living this out every day? Not perfectly, because we're not perfect. with God's help, are we living it out every day? Are our family, are they seeing us make decisions, set priorities, order our finances? Are they seeing us do all of that under the big tent of this truth, this mission that God's given us to love Him and love others? And for our church family, for the context of our church family, could I ask you if you would be willing to connect across generations to encourage and influence the people around you? It made a difference for my family. It makes a difference for every family. So I wonder if you're willing to step outside of just the circle of people who are in your same age range and in the same season of life and rub shoulders with some other folks who might need for you to encourage and reinforce just the truth that God's wanting to imprint in their heart and life. So God, You know what we need to hear this morning. You know the truth of Your Word and how relevant, how powerful it is to our hearts. Father, I pray today that You would take everything that was of You that was said this morning and apply it to our hearts. And if I said something that wasn't in sync with Your Spirit, God, would You help us all just to forget that? We only want what You want us to hear. And so, Father, I pray that You would help us to commit today to training up our family and sharing our faith with our family through the relationships that we're building. And Father, I pray that in the context of our lives, our families would see this is real, this is genuine. I want to embrace this because this is not fake. This is not something that just is relegated to a place. This is life. God, help us live this out in our daily lives.